Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to NIIT Limited's earnings call. Mr. Vijay Thadani, NIIT Limited's Chief Executive Officer, is your call leader today. For the duration of the presentation, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. After the presentation, the question-and-answer session will be conducted for the international participants connected to Airtel International Center. After that, a similar question-and-answer session will be conducted for the participants in India. Now, I hand over to Mr. Vijay Thadani of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the earnings call for the third quarter. First of all, I must thank you for being here on the call despite it turning out to be a holiday. I'm sure we will have some interesting discussion as we go through this call. What I would like to do is to quickly talk about the results of the third quarter, but before that, like I always do, I'll give you a flavor of the environment that we saw in the last quarter, and then get into the numbers and then some analysis, and after that I'll open it for question and answers. To start with, I want to mention that October, November, December, normally in our seasonal business, is the height of off-season. So it's normally the lowest quarter we have in the year. And traditionally always also the quarter in which we have a loss. And it's after a very long time that in this quarter, NIIT Limited has made a net profit. And I think that's the single most important highlight that I have to share with you today before I get it to the industry environment. So on to the industry environment. I think in the Indian marketplace, these are very exciting times for the IT and IT-enabled services training. And we are seeing the IT and user industry gaining volume momentum. Campus recruitments have increased. And we are seeing a higher placement demand for our star product GNIIT from a large number of employers. In fact, the placement requests we received during the quarter were far in excess of the numbers that we could service. And that had to do with the fact that our enrollments 2 years ago, when our current year's graduates would have joined us, were low and therefore were inappropriate for the needs of the marketplace. The other interesting thing is that the engineering seats in the country have gone up from 60,000 in 1999 to 400,000 in 2004, in excess of 400,000, in fact. The current batch of engineers that graduated this year, however, 20% of them could not get placed. They had degree, but they lacked skills. In this environment, we think we have created a small opportunity for ourselves, and we launched a finishing school for engineers in those who could not get placed. And we trained about 1,000 of them, of which about 393 of those who had completed have already been placed. So that's been a very satisfying experience. And while IT and IT-enabled services industry has a large momentum, I think the youth of today has enhanced career choices. There are a large number of white-collar jobs which the youth is very attracted to, whether it's in the insurance or banking industry. And I think we have to compete for their mind share from there as well. So while on one side the demand is picking up very rapidly, the supply in terms of our student base, we do have a task in convincing the mindset or changing the mindset of people, which is happening, albeit slowly. On the global scale, the overall growth in IT training is projected positive after a long time by IDC, in which at 4.3%, of which Asia-Pacific and China will lead the pack. The good news is that we operate in the heart of this territory. So learning services is becoming a growing market. Learning BPO or LBPO is becoming popular, and online mentoring is gaining acceptance. So these are some trends which are becoming very interesting, and these are the trends which we witnessed in the last quarter. You would have seen the results on the website already and through the releases. but I will quickly take you through the highlights and then we can get into a discussion. I think there are three highlights I would like to point out. One, improved profits and profitability. Both profits in absolute terms and profitability in operating margin terms improved substantially over the same period last year. In the last year, same period, at an operating profit level, we were just about break even, in fact, a loss of 2 million rupees. But this quarter, we had a profit of 92 million rupees, which is a substantial improvement. In terms of operating margin, we for 9 months, we have at 12%, and in this quarter itself, it was 11%, which is better than the margin we had, more than the operating margin we had in the whole of last year. Our nine-month EPS is at 14.3 rupees, which is up 46% from 9.8 rupees, which we had for the whole of 12 months of 03-04. The reason I'm not comparing the same period because the same period last year is because first 9 months we had a negative EPS. So this year, first 9 months have been fairly satisfying on profits as well as profitability account. The second important thing is that there is an acceleration in volume, and in, that's visible in revenues. We had a system-wide revenues growth of 11% year-on-year, which is even better than what we have experienced in previous quarters. So we see an acceleration happening. Net revenues, the acceleration is even more because it's 13%. And that's because our own centers grew much faster, as well as the institution, the corporate business internationally grew much faster. In terms of seasonality, though we have been struggling to see how do we get out of the sawtooth curve that we have of growth, I think we were able to manage seasonality to the extent of profitability much better. Against a loss of 116 million, net loss of 116 million, last year's same quarter, we have a profit of 48 million this quarter, which as a profitable quarter has happened after a very, very long time. Those are the highlights of the consolidated financials for 9 months. At a balance sheet level, we did a minor asset addition of 27 million rupees, but the DSOs have improved substantially on at 96 days on compared to 113 days that we were last quarter same time. The cash position, of course, is slightly different. Though we had positive operating cash coming in, improved receivables collection as well as operating profit, we had some creditors to be cleared as well as some loan repayments, which contributed to our cash or cash equivalent balance to be at 504 million rupees. Let me get down to some other segmental metrics. The India institutional contributed 21% and has grown 15% year on year. So I think one of the expectations which the market has had is to see an acceleration in enrollments taking place in the career segment, which indeed happened thanks to some very industry-oriented and relevant initiatives that we launched. Our career enrollments in this quarter were 28% growth YOY, which is a growth of more than 25% experience after a long time. The CAT segment also grew fairly well at 44% in terms of enrollments. In international, our overall growth was 14%, and I think it has been led by, one, an improvement in corporate training in the developed world, and the NIT Inside model in the developing world. Overall, international and India individual were the two leaders of the pack in terms of growth. We have shared our segmental profitability as well. India individual, if you would see even sequentially in our best quarter, which was of the year typically, which is July, August, September, had lost some money. but has broken even, an expectation that we've been working on for a while, where we can now say that this business has broken even at an operating profit level and will move further. India Institutional had a 13% operating margin, and International had a 14% margin, and thereby overall we were at 11%. In terms of center network, we have been working on some consolidation exercise where we are trying to see that centers which do not justify the cost of support, we should see that we do not renew and instead focus on larger centers where we have very large placement demands coming from the employer industry. So we did some consolidation effort during the quarter, and our number of centers have come down from 773 to 707 in terms of those which are in our business partner locations. The institutional locations, the number of centers have come down from 2730 to 2541. More to do with the fact that the Tamil Nadu project, schools project, was closed successfully, and its term has expired, and we have handed over charge to the government. So that's a very successful case of build, own, operate, and then transfer. Going forward, we are also looking at international geographies and rationalize some of the low revenue centers. This obviously does not have any impact on revenue or profitability. Well, an impact on profitability for the better and a very, very small change in revenue, which will be covered up by the growth. Overall enrollments in the quarter were in excess of 40,000, and I think the quality of enrollments is what we have been focusing on, which is what came in very well. In terms of order intake, international order intake was $8.35 million, and we closed with an order book of nearly $60 million all over totally, which translates to 648 million rupees. During the quarter, we added a headcount of only 26 people net. Our future strategy, I think, is to take advantage of the volume acceleration. Excuse me. I'll just switch off. Is to take care of our brand strength, leverage our brand strength, capitalize on it on one hand, and then take advantage of the volume momentum that is building. So we are going ahead with expansion plans reflecting that, launching more and more industry-relevant programs, and looking at NIT Insight in international universities in the developing world, and focusing on training outsourcing and LBPO opportunity in the developed world. While we go ahead with these strategies, which we do believe will cause a volume acceleration to happen and to reach a stable state where we can have in the relevant sectors, relevant segments like India and individual, a growth rate which matches that of the IT and IT-enabled services industry, which is what it should be given the fact that we are a feeder or an upstream industry to them. While we do this, the challenges that we have are the fact that consumer sentiment and choices have increased for the consumer with so many white-collar jobs, and we have to win the battle of mindshare, and therefore more and more dependence on the brand will exist. We also have, while outsourcing backlash is a distant thing as far as the industry is concerned, but I think in academic circles, once in a while you do hear a small dialogue on this. So that is something which we would have to cope with. But overall, we see a positive outlook as we go forward. With this, I have completed my presentation. But before I open it up for question and answer, I also wanted to share another development which the board approved today, and that was the FCCB issue, the foreign currency convertible bonds issue. The board today approved the proposal of Intel Capital for subscription to the $10 million issue of foreign currency convertible bonds. As you may have known, With Intel Corporation, we built a strategic alliance about 3 months ago when Dr. Craig Barrett, chairman of Intel Corporation, was visiting India. And this is, in a certain sense, a strengthening of that relationship now that we'll get an opportunity to work together to take advantage of the technology revolution as it affects this country and the rest of the world. And we look forward to building a stronger partnership with Intel Corporation as we go forward. So with that, I would now like to open this call for Q&A. Operator?
Thank you very much, sir. I now hand over the proceedings to Lucy at Airtel International Center to conduct the question and answer session for the international participants. After this, we will have a question and answer session for the participants in India. Over to you, Lucy.
Thank you, Swati. At this time, international participants may press 01 if they would like to ask a question. On pressing 01, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. International participants who wish to ask questions, please press 01 now. At this moment, there are no questions from participants outside India. I would like to hand over the proceedings back to Swati.
Thank you very much, Lucy. We will now begin the question and answer interactive session for the Indian participants connected to audio conference service from Airtel. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1 on their touchtone enabled telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first in line basis. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. The first question comes from Mr. Dipen from Kotak Securities. Mr. Dipen, you may ask your question now.
Good evening, Usha Thadani, and congrats on a good set of numbers. I had some certain questions, at least about 3 to 4 of them, to just clarify. First thing relates to the revenues during the quarter on the India institution as well as the international front. I see that on a sequential basis, both of them have gone down. I believe that the India institution could be mainly because of the Tamil Nadu project getting over. That's what I believe it is. But could you throw some light on how the international revenues also gone down sequentially and on both levels, like what could be the steady state of revenues?
Okay. Yes, you're right. As far as the institutional revenues are concerned, they have gone down quarter on quarter, and that's because the Tamil Nadu project was handed over. On the international front, there are parts of the world where there is a seasonality very much like the seasonality we face in this part of the world, especially to do with corporate training, where in the October, November, December time frame, where the instructor-led training elements are higher. In fact, training in general, delivery elements are higher, then there is traditionally a slowdown. And this is in line with what has been happening before. So that's what is contributing to it. In terms of the steady state of growth, I think on an annual basis, we believe that the international segment will accelerate up to a steady state growth rate of about 20%. Right now it's lower than that, but I think it's accelerating.
Okay. And I think the corresponding reduction in the operating margin is mainly because of these revenues, and once when they pick up, from margin should once again improve. Is
yes.
That correct?
Yes. If you look at it in comparative terms, I think our operating margins are better this quarter.
Okay. Okay, that's one part. The other part was just if you can give me some sense about the overall fixed expenses in the company, Mr. Thadani. What would be the total fixed expenses as a percentage of the net revenues of the company?
Since they are fixed, then as a percentage it varies with the revenue.
Yeah. Over the last 12
yeah,
months.
So I think the typical fixed expenses of the company, it varies a little bit up and down, is between 42 to 50 crores.
Okay, 42 to 50 crores per quarter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It can go up to 52, 53 also sometimes if the incentives are bunched together.
Okay. And since we are planning to open up some of our own centers, this could go up to a higher level. Is that correct?
Yes, it can go up to a higher level, but yes, you're right, but not dramatically.
Okay. And something more on this FCCB issue, a couple of things there, like what could be the reasons for Intel picking up a stake in the company, and the other reason is, another question is, how do you intend to utilize the funds which are coming in?
Yeah, I think Intel sees a strategic value in an association with NIIT, and the reason is, I think both of us are committed to the penetration of information and communication technologies in the whole world, India being very strategic for Intel and even the developing world together. So while our relationship has started in terms of working together in the Indian school system and teacher training and areas of such kind, which are very developmental for Intel, but they are a business line for NIIT, so it's a natural partnership. We do believe that going forward there will be other areas where ICT technologies could affect us. I would in fact ask Mr. Pawar, chairman, to also say a few words on this, since he has been discussing this with Intel as well.
Yeah, this is Pawar here. One discussion we've been having for some time is pertaining to the work that we are doing in the use of technology, even outside the school, but in rural setting, but for education. And you may be familiar with part of the research which is going on. And the discussion with Intel for some time has been on whether they would create a product or create computers which are more appropriate for those kind of settings, because now what they make are basically office computers. Mm-hmm. And they are over-specified for some of the applications we have in mind when we look at the rural kiosk. Mm-hmm. So there has been some meaningful discussions on areas like that so that they can create a product or they can create a specified product for those kind of applications. And of course in the schools area, we already are cooperating with them for some time. They have a big mission to increase the penetration to get access to that market. And our K-12 business is involved in delivering learning. So whatever we can do together to bring the cost of the devices down for the school system, mm-hmm. that would expand the market for both. Okay. So there is some activity going on in these kind of areas with Intel.
Okay,
in terms of uses of the funds, as we have shared before, we have a CapEx plan of about 100 crores. In this quarter and next 12 months, which means in the 15-month period. As you know, this was our plan for 50 crores last year and 50 crores in the coming year. For the first three quarters, we were a little slow for two reasons. One, we wanted the momentum to pick up and a few other issues to be in place. And I think going forward, our plans are very clear. We the 100 crores CapEx plan which we have, which we have shared with you, is for modernization and expansion of some of the businesses we have. Knowledge solutions business on one hand. The K-12 business itself has investments as each and every project comes up. Our new education centers which we are setting up. And last but not the least, the investment in NIIT University, which is also happening. So that's the overall expansion plan for which we have a number of funds identified, sources of funds identified, and we have FCCB is one of those funds. So we'll be using internal accruals, FCCBs, as well as some term funds for this round of expansion.
Okay. And I'm sorry for asking this, maybe the information is already available, but how much of money will we be raising with the FCCBs?
$10 million.
$10 million, okay. And and at what rate will the bond be converted into equity?
Okay. The coupon rate is 2.5%. Mm-hmm. And the conversion price is 200 rupees.
200 rupees.
Yeah.
And when can this be converted?
Whenever they want.
Okay, there is no lock-in as 1 to 2 years.
No, ECB has a, you know, this is the same ECB instrument, so there are the terms are standard.
Okay. And, okay. Yeah, and other income was in fact lower in this quarter. Once again, would the rupee be there since we have some international revenues? Would that be the reason or?
Yes. I think the primary reason was that there was also a notional exchange loss because there are some loans given to subsidiaries which had to be converted into equity.
Mm-hmm.
But so as long as there are loans on the books, you have to account for an exchange loss there.
Okay, thanks and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. The next question comes from Mr. Ashish from Lucky Securities. Mr. Ashish, you may ask your question now.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, sir, I would like to know what would be the dilution if and when this FCCB gets converted?
I think it will be south of 10%, just short of 10%.
Okay. And the next thing I would like to understand is presently we have something like 1,800 million of pending order book for Indian institutionals. Over what period of time would we execute all this?
The total order book of 265 crores that we have, 41% is executable over next 12 months.
Over next 12 months?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, one more thing. The enrollments for this particular quarter seem to be less Y on Y for the same period last year.
Yes.
What would we take out of that? What would we infer from that?
Yeah, what you would infer from that is that the enrollments in the literacy segment, SWIFT, you know, that was a mass literacy program that we had launched 3 years ago, which we are continuing with. And the success of that program is visible in the fact that enrollments are falling, which means we have been able to create more and more literacy. But the other issue is that the literacy segment gets their education in schools and colleges as a normal course now. And this was also the program where we used to have the 500 rupee course, 500, 750 and 1000 rupee courses. So that is the volume which has fallen. In futures, our enrollments are up 28%. In cash, our enrollments are up 44%.
That was our focus last quarter.
And that was the focus last quarter.
Okay. Yeah, that was it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions, may please press star 1. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions, may please press star 1. The next question comes from Mr. Manoj Singla from JP Morgan. Mr. Singla, you may ask your question now.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, sir. My question actually relates to the India institutional business. As you rightly, you pointed out that we have seen a decline in revenues because of the TN order getting over, but we have seen a significant decline in margins as well. So I think the first part is how do we see the margins in this business going forward, because as of now this is the most profitable segment. Secondly, in terms of revenues, how much of the current revenues is the annuity stream and what are the further contracts in the pipeline which we can expect to win and what kind of growth can we expect in this space?
Yeah. Yes, you are right. The margins this quarter are lower than the margins that we have had in the previous same period last year. Now, if you notice, the margins in this business fluctuate across quarters depending on the kind of contract that we have. And each of the state governments go for a model which is different. So if it is a systems integration model for first part of the contract and then followed by a facilities management, then the revenue pattern follows is slightly different. And I think last year you would have seen that happening in this quarter. At a steady state, I think there is more business to come from, given there are 800,000 schools and government has very ambitious plans for IT in schools, and the fact that we are best equipped to handle it. I think what we have to manage is the working capital demands of this business, and therefore in steady state we look for a revenue growth of 15% on a steady state basis. At this point of time, keep this quarter aside, but on a 9-month basis we would be a little ahead of that. But in a steady state we would like it to settle at 15%, and we would like this business to be about 20-odd% of our total revenue, because otherwise the working capital exposure, given the time that government takes to make payment, can be substantially large. In terms of pipeline, I think there are a number of other states which are in the reckoning and are at various stages of tender finalization. Typically, in this period, normally there are finalizations. Our past experience shows that. But this year, because of the state assembly elections in number of states, I think there is a dampening of that because of, you know, codes of conduct and preoccupations. So we do believe that during the year, I think many of these tenders, some of which we are very favorably positioned, will materialize and we will be able to get the growth that we are looking for.
Sure, sir. My second question is actually on the international business. Can you just break that up as to how much of the revenues came from Knowledge Solutions? But as far as I understand, that business should not be seasonal, just to understand what is the seasonal impact.
Yeah, one part of that business is seasonal, and which is to do with the fact that wherever there is live training involved and there is a part of education delivery which is outsourced to us, because there are Christmas breaks in colleges and universities. Also, one part of our business is in higher ed. So there is a minor dip. The other part where the dip takes place is in the trainers, where on-site training which we do for a number of our technology as well as corporate clients. The on-site training also reduces in the month of mid-November to December, because they don't have enough participants because of holiday season. So those are small dips, but in the developing world, those dips can be a little longer depending on the place where we are in. China normally does well in this time because in October they have a recruitment season. So overall there is a small dip that does take place. And to answer your first part of your question, Knowledge Solutions business is about 65% of the total of that international pie.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you. One very last question from my side. You suggested that you are looking at a growth of 15 to 20% on the India institutional business and 15% in international business. So I think going into the next year, can we expect a 15-20% growth in your overall revenues over the coming year?
No, as you know, we have three income streams. We have India individual, we have India institutional, and we have international. So we would like the institutional to stabilize at 15%, international to grow up to a 15% growth and then move on further in the following years, and India business next year to go grow on the other side of 10%. So I think you will see more between 10 and 15 rather than 15 and 20 next year.
And sir, finally, on the margin front, what should we expect going into the next year for the next?
I think margins are also improving, so they will also improve in line with the revenue.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question comes from Mr. Dipen from Kotak Securities. Mr. Dipen, you may ask your question now.
Yeah, my question has already been asked. It was basically relating to this India individual market, where Vijay mentioned in his opening remarks that he would like this growth in the India individual business to tend to the overall in the IT industry growth rate, and I think that growth rate is put at about 20% or more than that. So maybe that could be the reason why I was very slightly more optimistic on the growth rate for India individual.
Yes, except that that growth rate, for it to happen, there will be an acceleration. It will not be a step movement. So I think next season will be better than the previous season, and then the following season will be better than this next season.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. The next question comes from Mr. Ashish from Lucky Securities. Mr. Ashish, you may ask your question now.
With 50, more than 50% of our business coming from the international side, I would like to know if we have taken some forex hit and whether we hedge our positions in any way.
Yes, we do, and we regularly do that as a part of our overall treasury management process. We normally take a 6-month hedge on our receivables.
Okay. In this quarter, any particular hit, loss or profit on the forex side, as far as the other income is concerned?
Yes, in this quarter we have had a loss, and I said most of that is on a notional for a notional reason, because we had a loan to our subsidiaries which was to be converted into equity, pending some permissions, and therefore, as a notional number, that exchange loss has to be recorded.
Okay. Could you specify the number this quarter we have taken that loss?
11 million is the loss on account of the loan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants. I would now hand over the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for the final remarks.
So I think that brings us to the end of this call. What I would definitely like to state is that all the data sheets are available on the web, as well as our lines are open for any questions or follow-up questions that you may have. Myself, Nidhi Agarwal, Sanjay Mal, Rajendran, and Rajiv Pawar, all of us are available to you for any questions that you may have. Thank you very much for being here on the call, and your line of questioning, as always, has been very educative and I'm sure will help us in doing better in future. With that, wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the earnings call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for connecting to audio conference service from Airtel, and have a nice evening. We have